And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here. Rock Cod Rick Mexa here, too, in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, overlooking a busy San Diego landings, Fisherman's Landing.
No,
Polaris is pulling in. And
it's buzzing.
It's a buzzing time, yeah. And I'll bet it's buzzing in that tackle store.
Oh, my God.
Own.
I walked in this
Fisherman's Landing tackle.
And it was going off.
It's going off?
Islander was backing in with, I don't know, 20 kayaks. Looked like those guys all had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happening.
It is.
Yeah. And Doug Curran, Fisherman's Landing tackle, giving some great advice here on your trip coming up or future trip down the road here. We've have a whole season ahead of us here.
Oh, my God.
We're only halfway through the year.
Yeah.
No,
Bill Poole used to say, shoot the fireworks off and go fishing. Well, they shot the fireworks off in March this year.
Yeah.
The fireworks half the season this year. We're having such a great time, and there's just nobody that knows saltwater fishing tackle like the guy sitting next to us, and we're having a great time here with Doug. If you got questions and you want to be a part of the show this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090, or text the show. Phones have been very busy all morning. Text is another great option. You can only text the show through the Let's Talk Hookup app, and make sure you include your contact info in case you're the big winner of the prize. And what a big prize it is today. Pete had mentioned again before, if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, check this out. One lucky Let's Talk Hookup caller or texter is going to win a $50 gift card to Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop. They're going to win a $100 gift card, gift certificate to Cal's Custom Built Reels. And you're also going to get a cedar plug daisy chain, one of the hot trolling lures right now, from Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
Yeah, it's a pretty good prize.
Yeah,
it's our way to celebrate happy 4th of July weekend.
I love
it. Yeah, it's a big prize there, and the phones have been packed, and the texts have been flowing through. I've got the great text here, which is a really good question, and we don't talk about half-day fishing enough, but Clinton Yucca Valley asks, he's going on the Dolphin on a half-day trip this afternoon with my daughters, and what's the hot setup for calicos right now?
That's so awesome.
Great question.
Yeah, great question.
First and foremost, I love taking my kids and then subsequently my grandkids fishing on the half-day boat.
Yeah.
It's just a very friendly place to be. There's no crazy competition for big bluefin and all that stuff. And it's just a great time out on the water. And I always recommend that the parent or grandparent or whoever it is taking the kids fishing, make the trip 100% about them. On the way out, they can play with the anchovies and throw them to the seagulls, and they love doing that, and make sure and get them a boat burger and, you know, a couple of treats while you're out there. And when it comes time to fish, you know, you can throw it out there and help hook the fish, depending on the age of the kid. But let them catch all the fish, at least in the beginning. With the way the fishing is right now, it's starting to come up to the surface. We're getting some good calico fishing. A lot of people will bring their saltwater rod and reel, you know, that's appropriate for a yellowtail or a tuna. It doesn't work that well for calicos. So, you know, a little Trax 300 or other level wine reel in that, you know, 200, 300, 400 size range. If you have an 8-foot inshore rod, something you can cast an anchovy out there, or you can cast a little, you know, 5-inch swim bait or a wham bait or something like that. And just make the cast, get the fish on, hand it to the kid. Sounds like you're taking two kids. If it's good calico fishing, you can alternate back and forth, and they can be catching, you know, two at a time if it's good fishing like that.
And Jason and his crew are so great
amazing.
On the Dolphin, and they'll really help you out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And just make it all about them. I mean, it's a 12-inch bass. Make it like the biggest deal ever. It's such a nice fish. Take a picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember with my grandkids taking a picture of the gummy bears in one hand and the calico bass in the other hand. You know?
That's right.
It all about them. And then if it's really good fishing, you know, let them see mom or dad catch a fish too, so that, you know, they have that memory of you catching the fish and participating. But ideally for, you know, half day fishing, in the spring and summer when it's up on the surface, that inshore rod. And then, you know, maybe you take a bottom rod, but they don't enjoy that as much. But if that's all there is to do, drop it down to the bottom, you know, let them catch that tree fish or or the little red or whatever it is. Maybe they hook a halibut. You never know. But
okay, so let me ask you this, Doug. If Clint doesn't have all the gear for his daughters and him, can he rent the appropriate gear at Fisherman's Landing today?
I would probably recommend renting the spinning gear that has 20-pound test on it. That's perfectly appropriate. Yep. Throw an anchovy out there, put a little eighth or quarter ounce sliding sinker right above the hook.
What size hook?
You know, usually match the hook to the bait, but if it's sardines, a 1-0. If it's hopefully anchovies, a 2 is fine.
A number 2.
Yeah. I mean, the bass have a big mouth, and they're not going to be overly picky. You don't need a size 4 or anything like that. But a size 2 and a size 1-0, bring those. And then if you have the ability and the know-how to fish plastics, Wham with a 1-ounce spearhead is ideal. 1-ounce triangle lead head with a 5-inch, you know, MC bait, something like that, and cast out there to the edge of the kelp, let it sink, and start winding, and you'll hook them.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, have a great time with the kids.
That sounds fun.
Let's go ahead and jump back on the phone.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Carl? Carl is calling us from Escondido. What's up, Carl? Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Yeah, good morning. Yep. I got a question. I got some Power Pro on my 400 tranks, and I was fishing, and another guy had a same thing, but he had, like, he said it's the number 2 smooth Power Pro. Do you guys carry something like that?
We do. It's been a little bit, it's called Generation 2, or, you know,
Super 8 Slick Generation 2.
It's their next generation, and that was, you know, the slicker casting line. And we've had that on order for 15 months, and subsequently, every couple months after that, we order some more. We definitely have some of it now in stock, but it's been a real grind trying to get some of that Power Pro in stock. They just got really far behind, you know, COVID, supply chain.
It's all made in America, so it's been tough.
Yeah, it's made in Colorado there, but... Yeah. Anyway, we definitely have some, and you're probably talking about, 50-pound test, something like that?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure.
Type of calico action. And I like that generation, too. It's nice. I mean, I still like using that Generation 1 Super 8 Slick, but the Generation 2 is just a little bit better.
Yeah, and for, you know, for spinning reels and for bass reels, it's the ideal line, really.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
I thought this was a good text, kind of backing on what you just mentioned there. This is from Jim in Thousand Palms. For Doug, in general, how's the supply chain treating the tackle shops currently, as well how are the major brands doing in getting over their problems supplying tackle stores with quality rods, reels, terminal tackle? Your store always seems to be jam-packed.
Yeah, it's jam-packed for a reason. I think I've gone off the deep end in ordering stuff and literally started a year and a half ago with the commitment that we will have as much pertinent tackle in stock as possible. With that said, it is sporadic, so we've expanded our product lines where maybe we used to carry one brand of spinning reel, now we carry three, where we used to carry, you know, one brand of fluorocarbon, now we carry three. That way, if one company has trouble for a little while, then we have a suitable replacement that'll fish, you know, pretty close to equally as well. The supply chain has been a major problem for all retailers around the country. Some things are in good supply. Some things are non-existent. You know, we look at these Mad
Max. Is it getting better?
I would say no. I would say, if anything, it's getting worse.
Worse.
Certain things are getting maybe a little better, but, you know, China was shut down there for 2 months, and really a lot of Asia, and that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. And even if it's made in the USA, still, some of the parts for the machinery that they use, some of the parts for the, you know, the components for the product they're building are made overseas. So, if an item has 10 components and you have 9 of them, you still can't produce it. I'm not going to predict the future, but I talk to a lot of CEOs, I talk to a lot of presidents, sales managers from all the various companies, and I don't think this is going to come out of this until at least 2024. So with that said, we have great contacts in the industry and can keep up on the information and find suitable replacements for the things that aren't available, and we're staying way ahead. Our tackle store has never had nearly this much inventory in stock. We don't have the room for it all, but still there are certain key items that we are running thin on.
You've been really good about keying in on the things that people want and stocking up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, some of the stuff that we got in this week was ordered a year ago.
Yeah.
And so
this week.
So the stuff I'm ordering right now is for next July.
Wow.
It's not. We used to literally order something, it would come the next week, and we had a 90% fill rate, and it was really easy.
Since you're so good at predicting what you're going to need next July, are we going to get AlbaCore next year?
Yes, but it might be 2,000 miles away. But yes, we will definitely have AlbaCore.
Just checking, all right? Yeah, you can answer the question.
We've been having so much fun getting the weekly AlbaCore report. JJ, as you know from our fleet in the Apollo days, and now has the Pikey AlbaCore. JJ's son Dylan works with us in the tackle store, and so all the time we're always pumping him. What's Dad doing? Like, well, he's catching some fish. He's outside. They're on their way up. The fish are way off to the west, and the main body fish hasn't got there yet, but so we're getting our weekly AlbaCore update reports through Dylan.
It's so funny you say that, because I just got back from an Alaskan trip for 12 days, and I walked in the tackle store, and the first question out of my mouth was, how's Dad doing? What's up with the AlbaCore?
Speaking of your Alaska cruise, I was big on the news. You had an iceberg. Was that your fault?
It was not my fault.
No? Were you driving the boat?
I was peacefully on the back deck eating my omelet in Hubbard Bay at the Hubbard Glacier, and we were approaching, we were probably 6-7 miles out, but just absolutely beautiful morning. And we went into a fog bank, and the next thing you know, the boat slams into an iceberg. The boat shuddered. Everybody gasped. And
that's a lot of boat to shudder.
Yeah. How big is that boat? Like 800 feet or something?
Yeah, it's 850 feet long by 112, I think, feet wide, and Lord knows how many gross tons. But, it's a regulation cruise ship, and everybody felt it. It shuddered. It slammed into it, and for the first few minutes, everybody was kind of, quiet, like, okay, is this a problem?
Yeah. Right. Are we Titanic-ing right now?
And then the servers started singing the Titanic song.
Oh, that's funny. So, that's pretty good.
Some people thought it was funny. Some people thought it was horrible. And, but then, we continued on, and so we knew we weren't in imminent danger, and it was a beautiful day up in the checking out the glacier and all that kind of stuff. And then overnight, we were supposed to stop in Ketchikan and, Skagway. And we got up in the morning. We're in Juneau, and they said they had to inspect the ship. Well, it turns out they ended up canceling the remainder of the trip, and we just headed back to Seattle. So we got the full 9 days on the boat, but, and the news wasn't really flowing. It took them 24 hours to tell us anything had happened. We already knew something happened.
Yeah.
We're in Juneau. We're not in Skagway, so something went on.
Yeah.
And they canceled the trip for this week and next week, so 14 days worth of cruises canceled while they do repairs. And, and it went viral. I mean, it's on every major news outlet, so if you want to see a picture of this.
just all you have to do is Google Alaska cruise ship hits iceberg, it'll come up everywhere.
NCL iceberg. It'll come up on 50 different.
And you were there.
Well, yes, we were there, and it was cool. Surreal for sure. Yeah. It was awesome to see the power of something. That's Mother Nature. You got to
the real deal,
gotta
right?
Respect Mother Nature.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Doug? He's calling us from Montebello this morning. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
On the Colt snipers, why did hooks work on the Colt bluefin?
Is this Doug from Montebello? Okay. Well, we got to get to the initial business.
Yeah.
You've got a great name there, buddy.
Yeah. 20 years of that.
You left me hanging.
Maybe 30 years.
All right. Yes, Colt snipers have been one of the top baits for bluefin this year. Primarily that school size stuff, up to about 100 pounds. You've got to change out the hooks so that you've got a beefier hook. We're fishing a little bigger Colt Sniper and equivalent type baits this year, even some knife jigs in that 150 to 180 range, even up to 200. So this is not the deep drop nighttime fishing. This is, some of that at night, but you know, a lot of the daytime coming up on a school, a 150 to 180 size bait like that, beefed up hooks, a fluorocarbon leader, 80 to 100 pound test, or even 130 on some of the little bigger ones. And you can throw it into school, get a bite on a sink, get a bite on a retrieve, just your standard way to fish it. But, yeah, Colt Sniper and equivalent baits are really doing well this year.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Had a great text come through. This is from Jason in Rancho Bernardo. I've noticed people in the surface iron sections of different tackle stores holding jigs by the ring and spinning the iron in a circle to see if it spins evenly, I guess. Is this a legit way to see if an iron is a good swimmer, or is that all BS? That's from Jason in Rancho Bernardo.
To answer your first question, is it viable? No. Is it BS? Yes.
Simple, right?
Yeah.
Simple answer.
Has no bearing on how the jig's going to swim. You know, I don't know where that even came from.
I don't either.
The one that really cracks me up is when they grab the treble hook and start spinning the jig. That really makes no sense. At least there's some logic that you could apply to spinning the ring that, you know, the jig's going to be able to have some action or something. But no, that just does not give you any information whatsoever.
Okay, so how do you pick a good surface iron?
It's very difficult. The jigs of yesteryear were manufactured differently. They were sand cast, and then it was a human process to knock the excess aluminum off the jig with a belt sander, and sometimes the guy doing that would just accidentally grind it in such a way that the jig would swim better, and sometimes they would knock the sharp edges off so that they would swim worse. But in general, you want the front edges to be fairly sharp when you run your fingers along them. You don't want those front edges to have been ground off. You want pronounced hips, and the hips come to a little point. Typically, there's a more rounded hip and a more pointy hip. You want them to be slightly offset from each other, and the wider, the better from each other. It's almost impossible to really pick a great jig. All you're doing is narrowing it down to a 25%, you know, and then you've got to go out in the water and throw it. And I hate to say it, you got to buy 10 surface irons probably to find that A+, and the rest of them are for catching barracuda and bonita and maybe bass and that kind of thing. But a good yellowtail jig is hard to find. Now, there are...
Now that you said that they're not as handmade as they used to be, is it more consistent now?
Some of the jig manufacturers, they are more consistent. And
like the OCTs.
The OCT is a CNC machine. There are no air bubbles. The weight is exactly the same on each jig. And if you took your, you know, 9.5 ranked 1980 Taddy 45 and put it against an OTC, and OTC is probably an 8 to an 8.5, maybe even a 9.
Mm-hmm.
They all swim somewhat and will catch you a yellowtail. The JRIs tend to be fairly consistent. And again, I don't hardly ever find a 9 to a 10 ranked jig on the wall anymore. They just don't seem to exist.
Mm-hmm.
We would pay more to have a chance at a 9 or a 10. But it's, you know, it's just the manufacturing process on a lot of these jig companies. It's just too expensive to do it the old way, handmade and all that kind of stuff. So you just do the best you can. And then, you know, people are on all these websites buying and selling, you know, used jigs for $50. And trust me, if you found the right jig...
But you don't know until you swim it.
Well, you don't.
For 100%, really.
You don't.
And how do you know? And how is a good jig swim?
It's... A lot of jigs will swim like a torpedo sinker. They go back and forth and back and forth and very methodical. And the pattern is not that wide. Maybe it's a 6-inch wide pattern. You want those jigs that kick out, you know, from the left to the right about a 1 foot pattern.
Oh, really?
And you want it to every so often have just this erratic motion. Like if you watch a bait fish in the water and then they kick their tail, you want it to look alive like that, so you want it to go back and forth and wow, out to the side. And usually you'll see yellowtail following your benign jig, but they won't jump on it. They usually jump on it when it looks like it's going to break the pattern. That's when the yellowtail will jump on it. So you want that jig to be a little bit of an erratic style action, not consistent. And it'll usually kick, you know, a lot of jigs will break out to the right or to the left. It'll be the same side every time, but but it'll go back and forth, you know, maybe 9 inches to a foot, and then all of a sudden it'll just shoot out to the side and then go back into the pattern. That's the one you want.
All right. Very good.
And it has to do with the speed that you wind it.
Right.
So you've got to know your jig. When you get current on the deal, you've got to do that as well. You've got to, you know, the jig swims differently with current than it does off the dock.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Guys, well said.
Yeah.
Hey, with that said, we're going to keep rolling, find out what's biting on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report with the man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Today, that catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, the long range, local, or private boat trips. Plus, with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish. They have smoked and jerked fish. There's spices, rubs, smoked cheese, the tuna burger, the pokey kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or call for details and order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to check them out on Instagram at The Real Fishermans Processing. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Doug, Rick, Pete.
Morning,
hey. Happy 4th of July, guys. Happy 4th of July.
Same to you.
Big, big day today. Kelly's birthday today.
Hey,
so happy birthday, beautiful. Yeah, the whole country celebrates her birthday tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah. So, gang, absolutely incredible what happened this week. Brian kind of touched on it a little bit. I was listening to Wooly's story, but a couple of our clients got into that bluefin fishing right in front of Dana Point. One guy had a 112-pounder 8 miles out of the harbor, and another guy had a 164-pounder right on top of the 267. So if you've been waiting for that fish to get up into U.S. waters, I don't think you need to wait anymore. I think it's here. But it's on that anchovy, so it's flying. It's all over the place. It could be on the 43 tomorrow. It could be at the Red Buoy in front of Dana Point Harbor the next day. It's just flying all over the place right now, getting settled in on that, what Doug calls that micro no-see-ums bait. There's fish are all over the place. There's fish on the 14. There's fish down on the 209, 181, 182. It's all over the place. It just needs to settle down a little bit. It's here. It's in U.S. waters now. It just needs to calm down. And like Ricky was saying, I think it's going to settle in here, and it's going to be spectacular July. So just hang on. And then as far as coastal fishing goes, we've been blessed, like I said last week on the show, we've been blessed with that anchovy, and that has sparked all kinds of cool stuff. Barracuda in Santa Monica Bay, which has been a missing thing the last few years, but it's kind of biting up there, trickled down onto the horseshoe a little bit. I know a couple of the half-day boats and three-quarter-day boats were fishing that horseshoe, catching some barracuda, along with pretty decent sand bass fishing and calico bass fishing. I mean, it's turning out to be a heck of a season. And then that trickle of sea bass, I don't even think anybody's really focusing on that sea bass down there in that zone. The real fun, one of my sister's boats, and they've been consistently catching sea bass, 40-pounders, 50-pounders. Chris Pica had 4 fish the other day for 12 down there in the kelp just below San Onofre. So there's a lot of stuff going on, gang. I don't know what you're waiting for, if you're waiting for something to happen. Catalina's on fire. It's the most consistent bite going. And then look at what they did on the San Diego. I hope Brandon isn't too mad at Booger for catching all those sea bass of Brandon's, but he was putting on a pretty good show the last few days down there.
That's
at the Coronado.
Sure. Yeah, they're around. And fishdope.com, Jeff and Danny and the boys have all the information for you. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And Dave, how do we find you?
Gang, check me out. I'm on every piece of social media, Your Saltwater Guide. YourSaltwaterGuide.com. We have all the techniques you need to catch fish in Southern California, so you don't have to follow the other boats. And I will have another great report for you next Sunday. I can't wait to see what happens this week. I think that bluefin's going to settle down, and we're going to see some outstanding numbers.
I like it. I like it.
Nice.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Your Saltwater Guide, Captain Dave Hansen with that FishDope.com report, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
And happy birthday,
Kelly. All right,
guys.
Happy birthday, Kelly. Yeah, for sure.
Woo! Thanks.
Hey, you want to get through the first time all morning. There's been a line open at 213-432-1090. A big prize we're giving away, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Want to remind you, this portion of the show show, sponsored by Ann's and Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over three decades. Check out the Fish Pro Series and other custom fillet knives from Ann's and Knives. Made from high carbon steel, they hold a great edge and they're very easy to sharpen. Ann's and Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Ann's also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnnsandKnives.com for more and get a great Fish Pro Series available at Fisherman's Processing.
Let's jump in the phones, Rick.
We're going to talk to Tom. He's calling us from Temecula this morning. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Question for you, Doug. I was out a couple of weeks ago and finally caught my personal best bluefin. And, you know, I never kicked my reel into low gear in my two-speed. And my question is, you know, what's the best low gear to have in a reel? And then how necessary is a two-speed reel, to catch a decent size? My bluefin was probably right around 100 pounds. And I was very fortunate to catch just one of four fish caught for the whole day. What's your take on that, Doug?
Well, I do think that it's a vital piece of equipment to have a two-speed reel for any tuna probably over 40 pounds and any line test over about 40-pound test. The fact that you got it without pushing the button, that's absolutely fine. But what happens with most of the tuna is, you know, you want to start in high gear. They're going to make their run. They're not necessarily going to be putting maximum amount of pressure. You've got a lot of line out in the water, so you want to be able to take up line quickly. But they tend to settle into a pattern where they're under the boat and they are kind of dogging you, and they're you know, you're at a stalemate and you can't turn the handle. And it's no different. We always say it's like riding a 10-speed bike up a hill. You can't do it in high gear, but when you put it in low gear, your feet are going like crazy, and you're not going very fast, but at least you're going. Same thing with a 2-speed reel. When you get to that stalemate, straight up and down, the fish is doing circles under the boat, and it's vital that you keep the fish coming towards the boat. And if you can't, they'll get their head down, and they'll take line off. The more times they do that, the bigger the chance you have to lose the fish. So that's when you push the button. Then at least you're able to turn that handle. The fish is coming in slowly, but he keeps his head pointed towards the boat. And you tend to get the fish quicker with less chance to lose the fish.
All right, good deal. Said. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup with Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Dana Landing in Mission Bay is the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. This is Mia. Come see me and our expert staff for everything you need for your next fishing trip, food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop is certainly one of San Diego's finest. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna and people that can help you get set up right. We also have Dougie, one of the best reel repair guys around. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle, the best rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. We now also have Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, both fresh and saltwater tackle, right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 Freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle take 94 to Broadway and Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is right next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hook up! Let's talk hookup. Having a great time here this morning, talking all kinds of fishing and fun. And I got a very cool fishing trip coming up that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So next year, this is all the way until April of next year, but Frank LaPreste put a trip together that both myself and Brandon from the tackle store both jumped on, wanting to get to fish with Frank. But we're all going to El Salto next year. It's April 10th through the 15th. We put the trip out to a bunch of buds and things like that, and everybody that, typical scenario, lots of people, oh, yeah, I want to go, I want to do that. Well, the time for deposits is upon us, and, you know, it's one of those things, put up or shut up kind of thing.
Right.
And so we've now opened the trip up to anybody, so if anybody wants to come fishing on a very fun trip to El Salto, we picked these dates because it's the I don't know this. Brandon lives and breathes that lake. And so these dates were picked because there's no nets and it's a very favorable moon phase. I couldn't even tell you what that is, but I know that those guys like are very techie when it comes to that. And
It's at Billy Chapman Senior's Lodge, which is it'll be just the LaPreste group, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Only like 14 people.
Yeah, 12 or 14 people is the entire group. Yeah. It'll just be our group. And it's just going to be a very, very fun trip. If you want to go, it just takes a deposit with a check made out to Rosa Maria Chapman to the Royal Polaris office.
Okay.
And you get that.
So just call the Royal Polaris office, tell them you want to go on that trip with Rock God Rick, Brandon from the Tackle Store, Frank LaPreste.
Yeah.
Probably Kathy's going too, I'm sure.
I don't think she's making this one. Maybe. Hopefully she is. I hope so. That would be fun. But I don't know. And then obviously several other guys from
RP
the
group.
Shop and industry and just fun people. But we're just
April 10th through 15th.
Yeah. It's
so call the Royal
Polaris
office, 226-8030, and just tell them you want to go on the El Salto trip with Frank.
That's it. Yeah. You got it. Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
But you got to put up or shut up.
That's it, man.
You got to put the money down.
Well, that's a reminder to all our friends out there that keep saying, I'm going to go. Yeah, it's time.
It's going to fill.
I'll
fill it up right now. Hey, I got a great text from our friend Bob in Huntington Beach. He says, good morning, guys. I'd like to know how to rig a Nomad Mad Mac, and would Doug you tie on fluorocarbon leader, how long or a wire leader crimp for yellowfin tuna down in the he's going to take it down to the East Cape and fish yellowfin tuna.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
I always like a piece of fluorocarbon on there. Those things, we initially put those in to catch wahoo, and so we were putting wire
the Mad
leaders.
Max.
The Mad Max.
Just like a marauder.
This is very much not a new lure. This is a lure that's been around for years. And didn't have the greatest reputation for a lot of years.
Yeah,
it just didn't. It
wasn't getting bit.
I just wonder now if maybe our sport boats don't troll fast enough to make that thing work the way. Because if you took that lure back east or, elsewhere where there's wahoo, I think they catch wahoo on them.
Yeah.
And, we troll around 8 or 10 knots. And I just
not
wonder if those things would work a little better for the wahoo. But so we were putting wire leaders, but they don't dive all that deep, so I recommend a pretty short leader on those things, mostly for abrasion resistance, but you don't want your swivel, bouncing along the top of the water, creating a splash where bonita and little yellow fins and things are going to try and eat the swivel.
It could cut you off.
So, I probably use a shorter leader. And
like how short?
Probably 3 feet.
Okay.
I mean, are you in agreement with that?
I've got some thoughts to that, only from talking quite a bit to our column, 4-pack and 6-pack fleet, the Brandon Haywards, the depth sport fishing, those guys. They are convinced that lure gets bit at a high percentage better with straight tide. So this is, I talked to Weston quite a bit about this. He said, no question, it gets bit way better with straight tide 100 pound.
Okay.
Tie your 100 pound to the ring. That's where that lure gets bit way the best.
So just tie it.
Well, hang on. But there's a very big problem with that. And the problem is that these fish are often up to and over 100 pounds, and that whole lure goes down the gullet. And he said with fishing them at that size, the loss rate of the lure is pretty high. Like on a big day where they're catching a bunch of fish, they're burning through several of those a day on a lure that is – $50 or more and nearly impossible to get.
That's the problem.
You can't do that. So stepping up in line size is where the big difference becomes, and you have to make that decision for yourself. What we've settled on is fishing 150-pound fluorocarbon wind-on on the reel that is then tied to the lure.
I was going to say
tied or crimped.
The wind-on is the key because then you don't have a swivel creating a commotion on the water.
Exactly.
A nice, clean
pattern. Ah, okay. I see what you're saying.
So that was going to be my next jump is that, and I would have said 130, but 150 all the better.
Okay.
If it'll troll on that. The 200 certainly would.
So
that's a big, heavy lure.
So we have, we've got a great crew this year. We've got another gentleman that works in our tackle store, Taylor Bosco, and he worked on the Liberty for a bunch of years, and now he does like 3 days a week with us, and then he does two or three days a week driving various four-pack and six-pack boats too. We talk about, he's the same. He goes, I bring those with me whenever I go on somebody else's personal boat. I can't afford to lose them. He fishes all of his with a crimped on 200-pound fluorocarbon leader because he can't take that. You ask him, he goes, these things get bit just fine on 200 pounds. So I think that you need to pick the answer that's right for you, knowing that maybe a straight tied piece of 100 pound might buy you the most amount of bites, but you're fishing on a lure that can't be replaced for a while. So from there to a crimped on piece of 200 pound, all of them work to varied degrees. But, you just have to know that as you go lighter, you run the risk of problems happening.
So how are you going to fish them, Rick?
I fish a 150-pound piece of fluoro. I fish a 50-size reel with 150-pound wind-on leader that I made, and then I crimp that 150-pound
directly to the lure. Okay.
That's my favorite way.
All right.
Reels have a...
So you're eliminating the swivel, you're eliminating two different connections.
Yeah. And I fish a wind-on that's 25 feet long, so I can cut it back a couple times if we need to. I'm not saying that's the right way, that's just how we have done it with our success.
And a piece of chafing gear so that it doesn't...
Absolutely.
I mean, we used to troll marauders on 275-pound wire, and all of a sudden the marauder was gone from the vibration. So you've got to have some kind of chafing gear so that you don't vibrate.
At the connection.
Right to the lure, yeah.
Okay.
Right at the connection where it connects to the jig.
All right, great.
We just got a text message from our buddy Sherm, Scott Sherman, that said, we lost three Mad Max while fishing with Wes on straight tide 100 pounds.
Oh, no.
But so now that, Sherm, we know that you're listening, go ahead and text us back with the number, though, that you landed that day. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Because it is an extremely successful lure. And I mean, I think those guys had limits. Yeah. I think they had limits of big ones that day, too. You know, so, losing three lures is really rough, especially when you can't get them. But having eight fish over 100 pounds is a really big deal, too.
That's a good problem. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
If I could donate, if I knew I was going to have eight fish locally over 100 pounds, I'd donate three $50 lures to it every time, too.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. Said they landed eight.
Limits.
Nice job, Scott.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the phones are absolutely packed solid. Everybody wants to talk to Doug. How about this time we talk to Randy? He's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Hi, Randy. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's really been a good show. Thank you.
Morning. How you doing?
And then I'll take the answers there. Good, good. Doug, I'd like to hear your scenario on how to approach a foamer correctly from a skiff. We were out yesterday fishing with a group of maybe five different boats, and most of them were pretty respectful. But there was one or two that, continuously just drove into the middle. Can you address that for me?
Yeah, I mean, it's the tendency, especially in a skiff that has a lot of speed, is just to run right into it. If the foamer is absolutely going crazy and it's centered on a school of chovy, that's one scenario. If the school's moving, that's another scenario. But you always want to be mindful of where the wind is, first of all, and you want to be mindful of which direction that school of tuna is moving, if they are moving. If they're just full crazed maniac status, going crazy on you can see a big brown ball of anchovies and they're jumping out of the water, those fish are a lot less likely to spook. They're on a mission, and you don't know if it's going to last for 30 seconds or, 3 minutes. But that one you can approach maybe a little bit quicker, but still, when you get close to that, you want to pull the throttle back and be mindful of where the wind is, because your cast is, if you can put the wind at your back, you don't have to get as close to that school, and you can cast into the school better. If you're casting into the wind, you've got to just about be right on them. So if you're lucky enough to get up on the school and able to cast into it, you might have one or two or three casts, like, right into the center of it. And then a lot of times guys will want to cast into the center of that bait ball. You might find that you get a little bit better bites if you cast a little bit to the edges. Also, when you hook a fish in that scenario, if you're right in the middle of the school, you have a better chance of those school bumping into your line and cutting you off, where, if you cast to the edges and get a bite, you've got a lesser chance of that happening. If the school is moving fast and they're obviously on the feed, I would recommend going parallel to them and try to get up direction of them and almost shut the boat down and let them hopefully come through you. You're not going to have, maybe as much time to get a bait or a jig on them, but paralleling them and just trying to get ahead of them and then, throttle back so that, you're not running into the middle of them, because that's when they completely spook. And I know Rick, they've done an incredible job. Neil is their boat driver on a lot of these schools, and you might be able to add some really valuable stuff to that.
I thought that was perfect. Yeah, I mean, I can tell from your question, Randy, it's a frustrating thing when that fish is close to the beach and is accessible by everybody. If everybody did it the way Doug described, multiple people would get multiple shots at it. But I don't begrudge a guy either. You worked all day long and you finally found a little area, and you hate to say it, but like inappropriate approach to a spot like breeds more of it. It's like, well, now I have to go this way because this boat's going to cut us off if we don't, and it's just tough. And you do exactly what Doug said. Keep your casters in mind whenever possible. Set them up. Like, a good cast into the spot of fish is everything. And a lot of these spots, even though it's a whitewater foamer, you do need to make the right cast, and the cast has to land in the spot. And a lot of times, if it does, you get a bite, and if it doesn't, you don't. So know the skill set of your casters. The better you can, the farther away you can stay from the spot but still make the cast, the better. And just know what it's going to take to put your guys into that spot. And even if that means that if you hang off of it and give yourself a better opportunity for the next one, sometimes better than just trying to run through the middle because you want to cut this guy off. It's the cast is everything, and setting yourself up to make the cast is what it's all about.
And another thing that happens, every situation's different, but you'll get into areas where there's just spots up and down and up and down, and they're coming up for a very short period of time, and you're just burning fuel like crazy, running 25 knots trying to get to it. And then when you get to that one pops up where you just were, and then you run back there. And if that turns out to be the scenario, that might happen for 30, 40 minutes. Sometimes just get in the middle of that and shut it down and just sit there, and eventually one will pop up around your boat. It's not the ideal way to do it, but sometimes those fish are up for 15 to 30 seconds at best, and you're not going to get on them.
Especially if you can keep yourself on the bait knowing that it's gonna pop back up ahead of time.
Yep.
All right. Hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, I had a great text. This one's from Dave in Mission Viejo. Two questions. I heard reports of bluefin foaming and then also puddling. What is the difference? Also, what is your recommendation for type or brand of spreader bar or trolling lure while I'm searching for birds to try and find my surface action?
Yep. There's all kinds of terms for, there's puddlers, there's breezers, there's shiners, there's foamers. Pretty common way to find the tuna are the foamers, because they're the easiest to see. And that's where usually there's a school of anchovies or other bait, and a large school just goes hell-bent for election, eating them on the surface, and they're, you know, fish are jumping out of the water, and you just see, you know, maybe a 50-foot or 100-foot around spot of white water and just commotion. That's your full-blown foamer. Puddlers are more like they're in the area. A lot of times you see those when it's like grease calm, and you'll just see like deep boils or their backs will be coming out of the water, and they're not really aggressively on the feed. They're in an area, you know, where maybe there's some bait, maybe they're done feeding by that point in time. They're not as aggressive, or they're just in an area looking for bait, but not exerting a lot of energy, like, you know, moving 20 miles an hour, you know, where you've got to stay on them, that type of thing. You know, you'll see shiners or flashers, which are, if you've got a little bit higher tower on your boat and you've got the sun just right, you'll see like little bright flashes where the tuna, you know, they turn on their side while they're feeding, you know, maybe 20 to 50 feet down, and you'll just see that flash, you know, and that'll be a good indication too.
If you're on your social media, look up that California Flyer Lure Company, Ryan Griffin that we had on last week. They posted a video this week of some drone shots of some of the coolest schools of bluefin tuna, not foamers, but, you know, breezers that they talk about, like schools just swimming subsurface. And a lot of those buzzwords are all just descriptions of disturbed water from fish under the water, but like shots of, you know, drone shots of big schools of bluefin just doing that, just swimming and shining and things like that, and it's a really unique perspective and very, very cool if you want to see.
Good tips. And time on the water. The more time you spend on the water, the more you'll be able to recognize the signs.
Yep,
for
exactly.
Sure. One more text here. Daniel in Santa Barbara listening to us up there on the Let's Talk Hookup app or the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, because they both of them get
right
up there in Santa
Barbara.
Good morning. I've noticed some people putting on large treble hooks on the bottom of large knife jigs and a single assist hooked on top. What size, strength, brand of treble would you recommend? And the secondary question, would you recommend that?
Yeah, I mean, some people are doing that, and I don't think it's a horrible idea. We tend to use the assist hooks. The Mustad Assist 2 has kind of become the go-to in size 6.0. They're available in 4.0, 5.0, 6.0, and 7.0. I've seen people putting treble hooks on trolling lures, on knife jigs. It's got to be like a 5XXX, and depending on the size of the jig, it's probably going to be a 4.0, 5.0, you know, maybe some of the smaller, you know, 150 to 180 gram, you might be doing a 1, 1.0, even a 2.0.
But you want to use that super heavy-duty
treble. It's got to be heavy, and don't neglect the rings. A lot of times the rings that come on these jigs are not enough. They were meant to catch rockfish and salmon. You've got to upgrade to a size, you know, 8 or 9, something that's like a 120 to 170 pound test split ring.
Okay.
Everything gets heavier duty. We're taking lures that weren't meant to do this, and they're working great, but you've got to upgrade all the hardware.
All right, very good. And you guys do that at Fisherman's Landing routinely.
We'll do it. We'll show you how to do it.
Every day.
That's what we do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Hey, let's try and sneak in one more call, Rick.
How about Sam from Irvine up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Sam?
Just about a minute left, Sam.
Good morning. I'll tell you real quick, because I was going to talk about the trolling plugs, but I went out with Brandon. I sent you guys a picture of a 200-pounder plus I got on that Nomad lure, but it was on a 100-pound test leader, about 100 feet long, and we trolled it at about 13 knots, and we got five of them in that day. Like I said, my body was like 240.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Man. What a fish. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. Hey, but they're working.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Sam, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
And when we come back, we're going to find out who's got that amazing gift package, including a $50 gift card to Fisherman's Landing, $100 to Cal's Custom Built Reels, and that Cedar Plug Daisy Chain. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming at you on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja, and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWarmerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Warmer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our lime margarita, tiki rum Mai Tai, vodka mule, or mango margarita. Or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Go, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
They might bite the new ones. I don't know.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out whether we got a caller or a texter getting hooked up here at the end of the show.
All
Doug's
right,
going to do us the honors.
Warming up the coin. All right, you're going
right.
to flip the coin.
Yeah,
clip the coin.
I'm going to clip the coin and flip the coin. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, we have a texter.
Texter!
So congratulations to Bob in Huntington Beach. You have got $100 to Cal's Custom Built Reels. You've got $50 to Fisherman's Lining Tackle and a Cedar Plug Daisy Chain.
Yeah, congratulations.
So rad.
That's awesome.
So
nice going.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you guys for the thanks to Cal and Eric for the generous donation. Thanks to you, Doug, for the generous donations there. And thanks most of all for all your knowledge you imparted for us today.
Yep.
So
it's always fun.
Yeah,
always fun.
And the cool thing about Fisherman's Landing Tackle is you can impart this, you can gain this knowledge every day at the shop, right?
Yep,
because you got a lot of really super guys that work there.
We have, I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's not even that far out on a limb, and say this is the best crew we've ever had. I've been doing this since 1981.
Wow.
We have an amazing crew. If anytime you want to come in and just soak up some knowledge, we love it. Rick and the boys do such an amazing job on the Instagram, so you can always pick up tips there and kind of see what items we've gotten in that are these hard-to-get items. We try to keep everybody up to date on that. If you want to give us a call, 619-221-8506. And it's been really fun this summer seeing everybody coming out and going fishing and hanging out in the shop before their trips.
Yeah, for sure. Again, right there at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Yeah, just
where you can get it.
Our office overlooks San Diego Bay. It doesn't get any better than that.
And literally, if you're going on one of the San Diego sport fishing boats, you step out the door and get on the boat.
Yep, there you
go. While you can shop while you're waiting for your ride to get ready to
Nobody's done that. That's never happened.
Nobody ever does that.
But you've got a, and you've got inventory of all the stuff that's sometimes hard to find.
I would say we have
including
Mad Max. Most of the hard to find items, and we every day the UPS rolls up or a truck like with pallets. And we're just like, okay, what's it going to be today? It's like Christmas every day. We get multiple boxes in every day. And
that's great.
It's hard to know what it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks to JP for manning the phones and the board for us back there. And, of course, thanks to Adam for our awesome, awesome app. I know a lot of people listen on the app, and we sure appreciate all of you. And thanks to the callers and the texters today. You are the guys and gals that make the show. Next Saturday, Ricky and I will be back here with Mr. Ron Lane from Fast Lane Kayaks, talking kayak fishing and more. And then next Sunday, let's talk some surf fishing with the man, Bill Varney. That's going to be fun. 7 to 9 a.m. next Saturday and Sunday right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. Have a safe and happy 4th of July.